Okay. Did I end at 4:11 last week? Thank you, brother. Okay, 4:11. The Lord hath accomplished his fury, hath poured out his fierce anger, and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and it hath devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. And that's true. As I've said before, I can't express to you enough how good that book Josephus is. It's something, a real good book. It's about historical facts. And he tells how these kings of all nations around brought gifts and riches into Jerusalem, presented them to the priests, made offerings to God. When he says no one would have believed that could have ever happened, he really means it's true. Everybody had a high esteem for that place. They knew that that place was something for kings of other countries to bring golden gifts into another country and offer sacrifices. You know, that country had something going for them. Jerusalem as a city did have something going for it. It was one of the most magnificent places that anyone could imagine. But here it is, in utter ruin and destruction. And the same thing is going to happen to this earth. Everybody thinks, man, look at all these highways, roads, everything's meted out, measured out, the fields, beautiful, nice homes, houses. No one would ever believe. It's all going to be torn up, ripped up. Dead bodies from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. No one would ever believe it. That's exactly what's going to happen one of these days. And these people are sitting on a keg of dynamite, and it's about ready to blow up in their faces. The world's coming to an end. And at least this world system as we know it. And we're right there. And people just continue on like nothing's ever happened. They have no room for God in their heart. They think that maybe there isn't a God, but if he is, they don't want no part of him. I assume that subconsciously they're thinking, well, you know, I'll get in somehow, but it's something I don't have to worry about or consider or take time to figure out or confront. No one would ever believe all things going to happen to this earth are going to happen in a very few short years. That they're going to be in awe. They're going to be amazed. And then they're going to be mad. Amen? They're going to be mad. Somebody put their thumb in the pie, they ruined their fun. That's the only way they're going to look at it. All the bad things come upon them, and they still don't repent. People are headed in a real bad way. And these people here, remember I told you before, the reason that one guy is speaking in chapter 3, I am the man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. The man didn't repent. That's the same way this world is and the world system. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Why did they enter in? Okay. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. So these spiritual rulers became physical killers. Jeremiah 5:31. Jeremiah 5:31 says, the prophets prophesy falsely. And let's read verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests, there they are, prophets and priests, bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? He says, what are you going to do when all the fabrications and wild ideas of these people fall through? What's going to happen then? Just like these people that go to false churches today. Now, this guy Hensley started a church in California or Florida. Then he just sends out papers to people and says they're ordained, and he encourages them to seek a tax shelter. Yes, sir. Oh, boy. This guy in there trying, ain't he? Oh, that's good, brother. That's good. Yeah, you get that piece of paper. Or they trust in the Catholic Church, Mormon Church, Presbyterian Church. Just trust. The things they're trusting in, what's going to happen to these people when all those things fall apart? They really don't consider that what they have in their soul and spirit, the things that happen eternally, those are really the real important issues. They don't see that. No one could hardly see it. Hard enough for a Christian to see it. Isn't it? You have to keep reminding yourself and waking yourself up. Hey, man, that's the truth. I got a spiritual soul here, and I'm an eternal soul, and I can do things for God that pan out and will work. But an unsaved person doesn't know those things. They can't see a spiritual side. Jeremiah 6:13 looks like too, as far as he sent the prophets and priests. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So these people were led astray by the spiritual rulers. Now, if the spiritual rulers lead you astray, you're sunk. But you may recover if a political leader leads you astray. But if you are led astray by a spiritual leader, then you're really in bad trouble. How many people have been hurt by preachers? Hundreds, hundreds, hundreds. Hundreds of them have been hurt and had bad taste in their mouth because somebody worked them over. What was that? Yeah, well, I'm sure he was. He was never in subjection to them anyway. He was paying their bills for them. Yeah, that guy's making the most money. So when your religious leaders let you down, you really have to consider a lot of things seriously. Because if you don't be cautious when that happens, then your whole life may go up in smoke, because you just may let it get to you. If you let it get to you, then you're a sucker, amen? Yeah, amen. Yeah, you may drink the Kool-Aid, brother, you're right. But I'm just saying, in normal situations, like ones we find ourselves in, somebody works you over as a minister and stuff like that, you have to be real cautious and careful, because you could do the wrong things or say the wrong things that may just shoot everything in the head for you later on and not give you a chance to recoup. Because notwithstanding what other people do to you, it's still your relationship with God too. And you're endangering that if you start thinking about things or wanting revenge or pulling back because somebody did something to you. But when spiritual leaders let you down, they don't lead you the right way, you are in bad shape. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. They cried unto them, depart ye, it is unclean. Depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, there is no more sojourn there, saying, hey, we'll never be able to go back to that place. The anger of the Lord hath divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. Evidently, it's implying that they were looking for outside forces to help them out when the enemy came in, things like this. Just like in 2 Chronicles 28:16, 2 Samuel 10:6, and 2 Kings 7:6. Whenever a country got in trouble, they'd hire the Syrians to come and fight, or they'd hire the Egyptians to come up and fight to help them out. And so evidently they were putting their trust in some country would come to their rescue and help them out. They offered them something or did something like that, but those things didn't transpire. These guys are just waiting to let them fall. This is in the book of Obadiah and even in the next book, Amos, that they'd just stand around and watch what was happening to the Jews and be happy about it, and then they had a chance, they'd deliver some of the Jews to the Edomites, things like this. So they were looking for somebody to help them, but it wasn't going to come. Yes, sir. 2 Chronicles 28:16. 2 Samuel 10:6. And 2 Kings 7:6. No one was going to save us. Verse 18, they hunt our steps, that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near, our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. Excuse me, the breath of our nostrils, the anointing of the Lord. Well, that says something about the word anointing, doesn't it? Was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. Well, you can't live among the heathen, not the Jews. They've been proved. Amen? They've been persecuted. Look, persecuted in Esther's time, persecuted in our time, in the 40s in Germany, 1492, Spanish Inquisition to get rid of the Jews. They've been persecuted. They just don't find any resting place among the heathen. It won't work for them. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. So they're referring to taking the cup and drinking it. The dregs of the wrath of God being poured. They're going to be made to drink. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 7 through 22. So Jeremiah's given a cup, says, go, make these nations a drink of it. And when they drink of it, then judgment's going to come upon them. In Jeremiah 25:15 also. The cup shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked. And that's what drink does. Amen. It makes you naked. Gets you naked. Or it makes it easy for you to take off your clothes. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins. So he's saying, okay, the punishment of Israel is past. Leviticus chapter 26 talks about this punishment. Leviticus 26. Verses 18 and 19 says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me. Now he's trying to talk them into doing what he wants them to do. He says, if you don't do this, then judgment's going to be brought upon you. Then he starts out, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me. He says, after I get done bringing all these judgments on you, if you don't do what I say and do what I want, I'm going to crank down on them harder. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I mean, that's a big jump, amen? You may take it in increments or 1 or 2, but 7, boy. You know trouble's coming. That'd make you afraid. Then verse 19 says, and I will break the pride of your power. What did he cut off in the book of Lamentations? The horn of his power. That's what he's doing, these people. He's just grind them down. There's no pride left in these guys. None. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. That's what he's concerned about. That power. They had a lot of strength, a lot of dignity as a city and people. Everybody came in. A lot of pride connected with that. He just wipes it all away. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. See, no prayer is going to get through. Nothing's going to go right for these people. So he really punishes them. Chapter 5. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. What they do? They kill the men. you find any army, they kill the men, believe me. That's the main thing. Army ain't going to kill women. Why?
Reproduce.
No, lust. Lust. They want the women. They're going to keep them okay for a while. Well, I tell you what. That's what an army does. They go in, take over a place. The Russians are real bad at it. They're going to take over a place. Man, Granny 88 ain't going to get away. That's no doubt. Matter of fact, they got something in Russia where they think if they rape a woman that, you know, grow old, then they'll live to be that long. That's their proverb they have. Sick people. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Means they're having to pay to get their water. Our wood is sold into us. They have to buy everything. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. I wonder who they're buying this stuff off of. You don't think it could be another Jew, do you? Pardon? Kroger's. Amen. Kroger's, that's right, Brother Kroger's. You remember that. Here's what Sisera's mother said about him. This is in Judges 5. You don't have to turn it. I'm just going to read this. This is when Sisera gets killed by Jael, Heber the Kenite's wife, runs a hemp peg through his brain. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Mom's looking out the window, wait for his son to come home after a day's hard work. Amen? She don't know he ain't coming home. Her wise ladies answered her, "Yea." She returned answer to herself, "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two?" See? Mom knew what was going on. They want the women, jokers. Ain't playing no games. They want the women. I wanted to show you that the Bible believes in that. Well, looky here. When the Jewish people went into the land, and, they came up against forces where they weren't in the land. They went against other forces. When they went in, what did they do? Huh? No. Outside of the land. When they fought outside of the land, what they were able to do was this. They were able to attack the enemy and kill who they wanted, but if they saw a pretty girl, they just say, "Hey, you coming home with me?" And then she would cut off her hair, pare her nails, and be in mourning for her household for 30 days. Then he was able to take her. Well, I'll tell you what. When a person takes over a town, they're looking for anything that's valuable. I don't care what it is, man. Somebody's going to stuff it in a bag if it's not nailed down. That's the way it is in war. And to see a pretty girl, oh, click, 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 click. You know what the man's going to do. He's going to say, "That one's mine." Look here, that would give you a real reason to fight, wouldn't it? You go in there and get all the loot you want, get whatever type of girl's there, that'd make you a fighter. Hey, look here. It made Joab the captain of the host under David. David said, "Whoever goes up and smites the Jebusite first will be the captain of my host." Joab went up there and lopped off heads, killed, did everything he could do, and got the job. See? There's a lot of rewards in a battle. If you win, amen. You got to put things in, and if you make it out alive. Yeah, amen. Well, sometimes less than that, brother. Less than that. But the parallel for us is that we are in a war, amen. And there are spiritual things that we can earn and we can receive. But we've got to fight for them. Look, we're on the sidelines, amen. Generally, we're just taking it easy, coasting. We're not fighting. We're not even on the line most of the time. I don't know how we expect to get anything if we don't get out there and do something. Amen? We're in a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. And it's a race. And only one's going to win the prize. We got to get out there and do something. Because our lives aren't going to... It's not going to be too much. Look here, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm here going through the same teaching you guys. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to get some rewards for this. And this is a battle. Preparing four classes, man. It's like murder. Time is gone. Like yesterday, I woke up almost the whole day yesterday, spent just working on classes up until about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's hard, gentlemen. It's not easy doing this stuff. But we are in a battle. There are rewards that we can earn. There are things that will accrue to our account one of these days if we stay in the battle and fight. But you have to fight. You don't fight, you don't get nothing. I mean, you may have just what you have on your body and some chump change somebody threw in for your account, but that's it. You got to fight. It's a spiritual battle. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Hosea chapter 12, verse 1 shows you how they relate to the Assyrians and Egyptians as far as commerce. They don't have any ability to get anything on their own. Look here, if you're stuck in a city, where are you going to get the food? Food's grown outside the city. You if you're in a city, you're besieged, you're stuck there, you're going to have to get food someplace. Somebody's going to have to be industrious and want to sell it to you. And the Egyptians and evidently the Assyrians did. Our fathers have sinned and are not. That means they're dead. And we have borne their iniquities. Exodus 20 verse 5 shows that the iniquities of the fathers will be upon the children to the third and fourth generations of them that hate them. And gentlemen, you have sins in your lives because of your fathers. There are some traits, attributes of your father, that stick with you and they carry it over right into your life. You say, well, I don't do it. Oh, no, but your tendency is toward doing it, whatever it was that he did. You can't escape it. That person's life had an effect upon you. You get up and you drink beer every morning. You know what's going to happen to your kids one of these days. They're going to end up sipping the juice. And you're going to be the ones responsible for it. The sins that your parents committed, there are some things that's sticking on you. You have their personality. Probably some of the bad points you don't like about them. Amen? Yeah. Sure, that's true. Pardon? Yeah, you do. You really do. There's a guy in church, he tells me that. He's figured it out. Most problem he has is because of his father. He has the same type of sins that his father has. And same type of problem. And somehow you just really connected to those things. And it is a fight. You're right, brother. We're doing bad enough on our own, amen, without help. Our fathers have sinned and are not. And we have borne their iniquities. Really, they are suffering because of what all their fathers did in the past. They're drinking the dregs of the cup. And the kids today are drinking the dregs of the cup of their fathers and the people that have made bad judgments in this country in time past. Gentlemen, to not be able to talk about God in a public school, to have children forced into school, and then to have our society evolve to the point where it allows queers to become congressmen, senators, mayors, and stuff like this, and flaunt that in front of everybody, to have your society degenerated to the extent where things that are wicked and abhorring to most common people, to have those things acceptable, you know, it all happened in the educational system. And the political system allowed these things to evolve. Those children in the public school, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, those kids right now have a real big jump on living wickedly. I mean, they don't have the the inhibitions we do because we grew up in the 40s or 50s or 60s when things were a little bit calmer. But these kids now, their life is sunk. They're going to be drinking the dregs of the cup of all the wicked things that go on in our country and have been allowed to happen by our rulers and our people. They're in trouble. But kids, 9, 13, rape other little girls, kill. Read about this one girl in Fairborn. Little girl, 9 years old, I think. Two boys, little boys, took her, stripped off all her clothes, kept throwing her in the water till she drowned. And then the mother said no one ever came and talked to her about it. No one ever consoled her about it. But you know what they did for the two little boys? They got them in a rehabilitation program, trying to rehabilitate them. That's our society. Forget about people who hurt and suffer and they're going through bad things. Let's just worry about the criminal. How can we help? It's all a head game. Everybody thinks, well, I know how all these things can be figured out to help this person, and they have people believe them and listen.
Society is responsible. Society is the one that's responsible for what the boys did. Therefore, society is the one that's responsible for it.
That's what they think, yes. They have an idea that somehow they know enough that they can turn around people's lives that are in a shambles, but they can't. That's the only one can help people out. And to let a murderer continue on is not good. Look here, I read an article. I'm trying to think about this. Yeah, it was yesterday, day before yesterday, about this queer in California. He had stolen two boys off the street. They were walking home from school, and he stole them off the street and made them his slaves for 8 years. He abused them all the time, and then when he went in front of other people with them, he made them call him dad. And he moved on the go for 8 years like that. And one day, one of the boys, you know, got away from him and stuff like this. That was in 1980. You know how long that man spent in jail for doing that to somebody for 8 years? He only spent 8 years in jail. Now he's out. Or he's getting out. Can you imagine that? Steal somebody and ruin their two kids and ruin their lives for 8 years, and only spend 8 years in jail for it. That joker got out last year. See? Well, I'll tell you what, when you cut off somebody's arms, you should be shot now. To cut off, was her arms and legs or just arms? Yeah, he raped her, right? And threw her, left her in a ditch. Cut off her arms with a hatchet or a machete. And left her in a ditch to die. And he's out walking around like he should be allowed to. But I tell you what, our society is real bad when they let things like that go on, because that just fosters more wickedness in people. Look, you can kill somebody and get out with it within 5 to 10 years. Really, people don't know how bad it is. They have no perspective on how good life was before all these things started creeping up in our lives. I don't know how they're blinded, but they really are blinded in this country. How long was she in prison for? 3 years? Oh, man. See, there's no real sense of justice. Everything's out of proportion. Guy wants to have a Christian school. Say, don't want it. One hat unless they get a license? Well, it's against my principle. Take the poor sucker's house, sell all this furniture. Hey, what kind of a deal is that? When you let murderers go free? When you let rapists walk around and continue to do what they're doing? When you let idiots even have some fabricated story they're trying to tell you and try to get away with it. Well, why even let somebody come before you as a judge with a stupid story and try to pawn off on you? Why let them continue on that foolish stuff? They're temporarily insane. Boy, that ain't nothing like that. Boy, you either did it or you didn't do it. Amen? Doesn't matter what your mental faculties were at that time. That doesn't enter in the picture. But to let somebody off because they were drunk or because they're temporarily insane, that's stupid.
Yeah, so you said to us, 15-year-old boy, that in the boy, you know, that's still a 12-year-old kid, tough kid.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They said that it's his background because of, you know, being an alcoholic, you know, all this, and, you know, that because he wasn't rehabilitated in school, that's why.
Listen, any judge let anything like that slide by is a fool. He is a fool. He's judging unrighteously. Yeah. Yep. There's something behind what they're doing because it's not right. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion. Why did they keep the women? So they could ravish them. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. Almost sounds like crucifixion, don't it? You know, when Titus took over, they crucified a whole bunch of them jokers. They may have did it 606 B.C. Maybe someone was wrong about crucifixion only being a Roman invention. Amen? Maybe someone's smoking the rug, like Brother Jones said. Yeah, their socks. Well, that really gave you a high. Amen? Woo-wee. Yeah, sniff foot deodorant after that one. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. So they took all the young boys, used them as servants. The men they exed because men can fight back. Boys, you can do almost anything. A little boy, young guy, you just don't take too many whacks on the head to give them the idea. Amen. But an old man, or one's 35, 40, been around a lot, stuff like this, you're not going to put a knife in your back to get the chance. So they get rid of the men, keep the children for work, keep the women for pleasure. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. Job 19. Job is a type of the Jewish people in the tribulation. We'll just go to one thing there and then skip over to Psalms. Job 19:9. If that's right, 19:9. Yeah. Stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. So this crown is something to do with glory. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Now Psalms chapter 89. Starting with verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So we're talking about a covenant here. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne is a son before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off, and abhorred, and hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void thy covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it, the crown. It says, the crown fallen from my head. That covenant we have with you, that relationship with you, it's just in the dirt. So you don't hear us no more. Our prayers aren't getting through. Heaven's brass, earth is iron, whatever that saying is. This looks like what the crown is. They say, well, crown's fallen, our relationship with you is done, the covenant's been broken. Only temporarily, amen? And then a new covenant's going to come. They don't know that. They only see them. Man, if you're in the dark, you only see dark, amen? The joy of our heart is ceased. Verse 16, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And all this is just because of sin. That's what we can say about our own lives, amen? Woe unto us that we have sinned. Excuse me. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Why do the foxes walk upon the mountains? Psalm 63:10. They eat dead bodies up there. You're dead. Fox will be around. Check you out. Amen. There's any vitamins there for him. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Just like it said in Psalms 89:30-46. He's wroth with them. The crown's fallen from their head. Nothing's getting through and they can't see their way out. That's a bad way to end the book, amen? God being mad at you. That's worse than Malachi where it ends with a curse or whatever that is. Amen? Have God mad at you. It's worse than a curse. Any questions? Anything anybody wants to add?